Hello, and welcome to One-on-One with LAPA, the Legislative Analysis and Public Policy Association's podcast series where experts discuss key issues and emerging topics in the areas of public health and safety, substance use disorders, and the criminal justice system. LAPA is funded by a grant from the Office of National Drug Control Policy, Executive Office of the President. Neither the Office of National Drug Control Policy nor any other federal instrumentality operate, control, or are responsible for or necessarily endorse this podcast. I'm Susan Weinstein, President of LAPA, your host for today's podcast on West Virginia's Be the One program. My guest today is Susie Mullins, the project coordinator of the West Virginia Collegiate Recovery Network. She's here today to talk to me about this unique program. Welcome, Susie, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Susan. We appreciate you having us.
Of course. So please tell the listeners a little bit about what your background is and the West Virginia Collegiate Recovery Network, how long it's been around, et cetera.
So my background is as a clinician and program developer. I've been mostly working in higher education and specifically in collegiate recovery for most of the last 8 years. I had a little bit less than a year with the West Virginia Office of Drug Control Policy, with 5 months of that being the interim director. So that was very interesting. And then about a year in a residential men's treatment program that was based on a farm in rural West Virginia. But other than that, the last 8 of 31 years has been mainly in higher education and specifically collegiate recovery.
Well, that's an impressive background. So how long has the actual network been in existence, and how did it get created?
So the Collegiate Recovery Network is a project of the Alliance for the Economic Development of Southern West Virginia, which is housed at Marshall University Research Corporation. And we're also nested within the Marshall University Center of Excellence for Recovery. We were started in 2019, late that year, just before we headed into the pandemic period. We're funded through state opioid response money, which is administered by the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources Bureau for Behavioral Health.
Do you happen to know if you might get any of the opioid litigation funds for the network?
We are sure going to try. That's one of our goals. You know, we've had the SOAR funding for the last 4 years. The cycle ends in September, and we never know year to year whether that's going to be renewed. And, you know, eventually we know it will come to an end. So we're definitely looking for sources of funding for sustainability for all of our schools. Our SOAR funds currently provide funding for peer support specialists on 9 of our college campuses in the southern part of the state.
Wow, that's impressive. So are you aware of other state collegiate recovery programs?
Yes. So Virginia does something similar. They received SOAR funding around the same time we did for collegiate recovery expansion. And Virginia Commonwealth University leads that effort. And I believe that they're working with 9 schools now as well. They might have recently increased. And then prior to that, the state of North Carolina, I believe it was in 2014, the governor designated funds for the UNC schools to start collegiate recovery programs. And just recently, within the last few weeks, the state of North Carolina's Department of Health awarded an additional $3.2 million for additional collegiate recovery expansion. So they have a substantial statewide investment in collegiate recovery. California, Texas, they both have some statewide initiatives or system-wide initiatives like the UT system and the UC system, which, you know, doesn't encompass every college or university in the state, but it is a coordinated effort at a larger level.
Right. It's pretty impressive. There aren't that many, but I have a feeling it will start to catch on. And hopefully after this podcast, more people will be interested. Do you know if there are any guidelines or best practices for collegiate recovery programs, or is it sort of just state by state or program by program?
Yes, we have a state or a national organization called the Association for Recovery and Higher Education, ARHE, and that is our national association. We have a conference, we have regional representatives, a board of directors, a council. So there are standards and best practices and recommendations. The ARHE is also working on a code of ethics or a guiding principles ethics document for collegiate recovery professionals. So we've definitely seen a tremendous growth in the last 10 years of collegiate recovery, and ARHE is really our foundation go-to entity for those best practices and guidance.
Now that's fantastic. So people do have guidance, which is half the battle. You and I spoke initially about your Be the One program, and I would like you to talk to listeners about it and how it came about.
Yes, so we were really looking for a way to translate what campuses, the language that campuses already spoke in terms of bystander intervention, and apply that to prevention and awareness, specifically around preventing overdoses, equipping campus students, faculty, and staff to respond to overdoses, preventing overdoses in the first place with one of our components called Smart RX University, increasing competence on campus as to how to relate and understand recovery. So we have a recovery ally training. And then our most recent module is called Safer You, which is strategies awareness for fentanyl education and resources, because we are seeing a lot of the drug supply contaminated with fentanyl. And one of the most concerning things is for students who are obtaining pills that they think are Xanax or think or some other substance, but are actually counterfeit pills. And so really helping in a non-fear-based approach, educate and provide students, faculty, and staff with tools to intervene with fentanyl education. And we are also launching fentanyl test strip distribution. So we have a lot of schools that are making the test strips available in or near bathrooms so that individuals who need them either for themselves or for a loved one or friend can obtain those in a discreet way.
Wow, this is amazing. So I know that there are different resources under the Be the One program. There's many of the trainings and then sort of ending with educational courses, naloxone, as you sort of had mentioned, all of these things. But can you go through each sort of program within the program and then sort of end with One Box and tell listeners about One Box?
Absolutely. So I need to mention one of our key critical partners and collaborators is the West Virginia Drug Intervention Institute. And we have been working closely with them for the last several years. And so the Be the One is really a collaborative between the Collegiate Recovery Network, all of our schools, and the Drug Intervention Institute. So Be the One is several components. The first one, kind of going along the continuum of care, is our Smart RX University. And that program is designed to be a peer-to-peer delivered prevention and medication safety program. So we're working with a number of schools to train student ambassadors so that they can go out and train their peers. You know, students listen to other students, and we really wanted to equip and empower students to go out and have information and tools to help prevent overdoses and promote safe medication practices. You know, couple months back, it dawned on me that the students that are on our campuses now have never known life without the addiction crisis and the opioid and overdose crisis. You know, it's been going on now several decades. And so, you know, these students don't have a memory like you and I do of the world before there were deaths every week due to overdoses. So really giving them, you know, people can make meaning out of tragedy and trauma if they have actions to take. And so, you know, one of the things that we find that motivates and interests the students who become our student ambassadors is, you know, their own personal impact, either being people that are in recovery or having been impacted by somebody else's use.
Yeah, that's sobering.
Yeah. Yeah. The second component is our naloxone training. And again, that was initially created by the Drug Intervention Institute. And we have our version of it online so that people can take it anytime and then they can get naloxone sent to them in the mail. We also train all of our ambassadors and our peer support specialists on how to do naloxone training. And actually, that was one of the things that we did quite a bit of right when the pandemic shut things down, because we did see a spike in overdoses. And we were, I think, the first group to transition from an in-person to an online naloxone training. So it was live, but it was via Zoom. And then, you know, we could follow up with mailing out naloxone. And so we've trained now close to, I think, 3,000 people in the last 3.5 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. One of my questions was, you said there's the online trainings, and I know there are other trainings too that are online, but then you said they're also live. Are they also recorded so that at 3 a.m. somebody wants to watch it, they can?
That's where we send them back to the website, because that is a recorded live training or recorded training.
How often are the actual live trainings?
The live, either Zoom or in-person trainings, some of our schools have them set to happen once a week. Some of them have once a month, but they're always available for a class, a professor, a club, a fraternity, a sorority, anybody to reach out and schedule one around, you know, what works for them. So, you know, we might have a fraternity or sorority want to do it on a Sunday evening. And you know, so that's part of what our peer specialists do.
And before you talk about the other tools, one other question is, how do the students know about these? How do you advertise or market this?
That's another function of our peer support specialists. They go out and talk to classes, they interface with professors, they're part of different committees and wellness committees. Some schools have substance-related committees, so our peer support specialists are engaged with that. They also do a lot of tabling. The other thing, one of our new things that we just launched, is something called Recovery Roast Coffee. Again, that was not original to us, but we borrowed that and were coached by Virginia Commonwealth University. They're usually some of the first on the cutting edge of most things. So we look to our friends and colleagues south of West Virginia over to Virginia to help us. And they are just wonderful. That's one of the things about the collegiate recovery community in general across the country, is it's a very giving, sharing community. We just want to see things progress so that, you know, collegiate recovery is available on every college campus. So it's a really great group to work with.
Yeah, sounds it. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Can you tell us more about the subsections of the Be the One program?
Yeah, and I got myself off track with mentioning the coffee, but Virginia Commonwealth, they not only started Recovery Roast, but they started something called a free hot coffee bike. And the bicycle is not really a viable option in West Virginia because most of our campuses involve some type of hill. So that we converted that into a coffee cart, which was also much less expensive. So we have a coffee cart that the peer specialists and their student ambassadors take out onto campus to, you know, as a way to engage and have conversations and raise that awareness about recovery and about all of our programs.
What better way to attract college students to win them a coffee?
Yeah. So then our Recovery Ally training, that was the next step. And we, again, certainly were not the first to do it. Virginia Commonwealth was a leader. Ohio State, with their Recovery Spoken Here, was a leader. And there are probably at least a dozen different Recovery Ally trainings that have been created over the last probably 10 years. I think the first one, Ohio State's Recovery Spoken Here, is credited with being the first Recovery Ally training. And as I mentioned before, that is that's a tool that we have that we can go out and engage the campus community and the broader community to discuss, you know, common myths, common misunderstandings, really present people with fact-based information and reduce stigma. That's the real purpose of our Recovery Ally training.
Fantastic. Are there any other trainings or courses that you put on?
So our Safer You, which is the strategies, awareness, fentanyl education, and resources, and that's a brief 15-minute module that can either be added to naloxone training, ally training, or both, or it can just be a standalone 15-minute presentation. So, you know, we were just getting, especially back in the fall, there was a lot of fear-based information going out, and we really felt the need to get factual information out to the campus community, because we want people to be aware. We want people to increase their safety if they are using substances and not put people into, you know, total fear and panic mode.
Understood. Absolutely. So now can we talk about the one box? When you had talked to me initially about the one box, I thought it was really impressive, and I sort of thought of it as a Nalox box on steroids. Can you talk to everybody about it?
Yeah, and it really is just an amazing tool. And the way that it came about, we had initially ordered 50 of the Nalox boxes. And at the time, that was the best product that was on the market. And when we got it, we started thinking about if we were going to make it better, or if there were things that could be improved, what would we add to it? How would we make changes? And one of our creative partners, Joe Murphy, he created the better mousetrap. He created the one box. And so, you know, as our program is called Be the One, in our bouncing around ideas, that was part of how the name became One Box, is, you know, if we are wanting people to be the one to step forward and we could have one box that did it all, what would that look like? And so the one box, as I mentioned, and it was invented about a year ago here in West Virginia by a native West Virginian who's been part of the front lines in this prevention effort and intervention effort for several years. He created the additional features that we felt like needed to be in there. So with the one box, when you open it, of course, it advises you to call 911, and that's very important because that's what activates the Good Samaritan law. That's what gets additional help on the way, because we are seeing it take multiple doses of naloxone to revive somebody. So we always want to call 911. But then you open the tab and it starts automatically playing a video of Jan Rader. And Jan Rader is probably one of our most famous West Virginians at this point in time. She was in the film Heroine. She was our female fire chief in Huntington. She now works for the Huntington Office of Drug Control Policy. But she is a medic, nurse, firefighter, and she walks you through in 60 seconds how to respond, how to assess the situation, and how to administer naloxone.
So there's an actual video in there.
Yeah, there is a video. So you open it, you pull the tab down, the video automatically starts. The video is also available in Spanish. So if it's a Spanish-speaking person, you push the Espanol button, and then, you know, she walks you through it in Spanish. It also has a training function with a longer training that meets all the requirements of the West Virginia state law. And so it can be used to train other people as well. So it's really a fascinating, small, efficient piece of equipment. And bar none, every time I have displayed it or demonstrated it to somebody, as soon as you open and the video starts, across the board, people are like, oh my gosh, wow. And you can feel people have additional confidence in being able to respond, because we know with bystander interventions, that's the fear, is that people are going to be so overwhelmed with feeling not equipped that they shut down and do nothing, or think that, you know, it's somebody else's job to do something. And the one box really, with the video and the equipment that's inside, which is a mask, gloves, and wipes, equips the person to be that one to respond and save a life, you know, in just a few minutes.
Yeah, that is absolutely incredible. I was blown away by this one box. So I do have a question about them. Where are they on the campuses? How many do you have? Where do you decide to put them, et cetera?
So each campus comes up with their own strategy. Our recommendation is that they're co-located with AEDs, with first aid kits, and other places where people would think to go in a crisis. Currently, we've got about 200 that either have gone out or will go out on our 29 campuses across West Virginia. And that's one of the things that I think the one box really helped us do, because we started with the schools that we work most frequently with in the network. And then we expanded out. We set a goal to try to get it in every school in West Virginia by the end of the year. And by mid-November or so, we had a commitment from all the schools in West Virginia voluntarily at the presidential level to get on board with this and to place these on their campuses. Parking garages, common areas where public comes, such as arenas, athletic venues, concert halls, stadiums, all of those places are places that we recommend. But, you know, we work, not every campus has all of those things. So we work with them to figure out, you know, where are the best places, how many do you need? And then, you know, when, if they're used, then they let us know and we supply, restock the box and provide additional naloxone for them.
And who does that? Who lets you know that?
Each campus has a designated person, so they also have to monitor the boxes to make sure that they haven't been opened and used. So that person, and it could be somebody in the health and wellness, it could be somebody in residence life. It just really depends on what the resources are on campus. It could be safety and security. We've done a lot of work with campus safety, security, and campus police. They've been super thankful to have this additional tool.
Yeah, I'll bet. So if listeners wanted to get a one box, can they order them, or is it just for West Virginia? How does that work?
No, the one box is actually, the last I knew, which was about a week and a half ago, it was in 27 states and 3 countries.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so we definitely, and I think that Dr. Bissett and Joe Murphy would be perfect guests for another podcast, because they have taken it to lots of other places. They're working with Gibson Guitars. They're working with a number of other really innovative settings to implement the one box and to make access to naloxone easier, you know, across the country in, you know, really creative and unique outlets that go way beyond college campuses. But they're $250 each. They don't come with the naloxone, so that is an additional cost. But, you know, right now with grant funds, I think naloxone is pretty easily accessible in most states through state opioid response grants.
Right. Right. And I have actually heard that some states are using some of their opioid litigation funds just to provide, you know, to buy naloxone and throw it throughout the state. So that's nice. So this is all very impressive. I'm really just blown away by this entire program and what you do at the at your Collegiate Recovery Network. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like listeners to know about?
I think the biggest thing is to look at your agency, look at your organization, and think about how can you make it more recovery inclusive and or recovery friendly. And, you know, that can go to looking at your website, to learning, taking some of our courses. They're accessible to anyone across the country, not just in West Virginia, to learn how to be a better ally, how to support people in recovery. And then to reach out to your alma mater and find out, you know, what are they doing to support recovery on campus? Do they have a collegiate recovery program or community. And if they don't, you know, alumni, parents, students have a lot of influence. And, you know, if there are people listening who have, you know, who have money that they feel like they would donate in, you know, if a cause were worthy enough, I think that this is certainly a cause that's worthy enough because, you know, what we know about students who are in recovery, they are a tremendous asset on campus. These are the students that schools should be recruiting and giving scholarships to come because for the vast majority, they are highly, highly motivated. Some of the most intelligent, creative, compassionate people who, you know, are really oriented toward service. They want to give back. They want to pay it forward. So those are the things that I would really ask the audience to think about. You know, how can you be the one? So in addition to carrying naloxone yourself, in addition to learning more about recovery, these are some other actionable steps that would make the world a better place because, you know, we have to get more support services out there and support people who are in recovery moving forward in their lives.
Absolutely. Before we end, we will post this in writing next to the podcast, but in the interim, can you give the website address for people?
Certainly. It is www.wvcollegiaterecovery.com. And then also to learn more about the One Box and to order One Box, you can go to www.wvdii.org.
Fantastic. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but I want to thank you, Susie Mullins, the project coordinator of the West Virginia Collegiate Recovery Network, for being here with me today and for presenting all of this information. It's just incredible, and I'm hoping a lot of people will listen to this. So next time, please join us for the next one-on-one where LAPA will discuss another interesting topic. Susie, thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care.